Future. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Are you warm? Are you cold? All the warm people was the majority. All the cold people were like, I'm cold. No, but I'm good. I'll get warm in a minute, so just leave it alone. I'm home and I'm typing and whatever I'm doing at home, Pastor will go, are you cold? I'll be freezing and I'll be like, no, I'm okay. Because I know in a minute, hallelujah. Well, we're talking about faith on Sunday nights. In the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about meditation on the Word of God. And I want to go ahead and start with Joshua 1:8 and how that the Word of God, if we'll do what God says, we'll be prosperous and successful in this life. Amen? And sorry, guys, I know I got the scriptures to you late. I hope you have them all. Praise God. You know, it's funny, you know, you go in a certain direction and you're sitting there and all of a sudden you have all this notes and it seems like the Holy Spirit just kind of changes it in another direction. And I'm like, oh, God, did you know we were going to have to do all this copy and pasting on our scriptures and everything? You know, but I believe God has something for us tonight. Amen. Because we want to continue to grow in faith. We want to continue to see results in our life. We want to see answers to our prayers. We want to see. We want to be a testimony. The Bible says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimony. Amen? And people need to hear testimony, especially in this day and age, don't they? Amen? So let's just pray over the word. Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you for your word, and we just invite you, the Holy Spirit, to reveal, to speak to us, each and every one of us, what you want us to hear. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So Joshua 1:8. I'm going to read this in the Amplified Classic. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Now, I feel like some of you said, I just heard this like for the last 3 weeks. You know, some of you just need to meditate on something like this every day. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it. For then you, say me, you shall make your way. Say, I shall make my way. Who's going to make your way? You're going to do it. God's saying, if you meditate on my word and according to all, and do all according to, so that you may observe to do what is written therein, you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall deal wisely and have good success. You have something to do with the success in your life. Success in the word of God and your growth in the kingdom, but also success in the things that you do. The Bible says, whatever you put your hand to will prosper, but you got to put your hand to something. Amen? So he's given us instructions here, and he's saying that if we'll do this, if we'll put the word of God, if we'll put the word of God in our mouth and we'll meditate on it day and night, we're going to have wisdom. We're going to know how to deal wisely. We're going to have the answers we need. We're not going to be living in confusion. How many of you hear people? So many people are confused. I don't know what to do. I don't know if I should do this. I don't know if I should do that. But the Bible says we can know. Amen? You'll deal wisely and have good success. Now, I want you to turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to talk about faith and get it, and how important it is to meditate, how important it is to get that word before our eyes, in our heart, in our ears, because I've said this before, we become familiar with the Word of God, and it's just another message. But it's not just another message. It's important that you don't become familiar with the Scriptures because I've heard that before. Unless you're doing it, you're seeing it operate in your life, you need to get on that Scripture more and more. Amen? So we're going to talk a little bit about that, about faith and how faith will come. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It says, now faith is the substance. One translation says it's the title deed of things hoped for. What are you hoping for? Are you hoping for victory? Are you hoping for a new home? Are you hoping for your needs to be met? Are you hoping for your family to be saved? Are you hoping to overcome depression or things that are in your life? Are you hoping to walk as more than a conqueror? What are you hoping for? The Bible says faith is the substance. It's the title deed of things that you hope for. When you have a title deed to your house, that little piece of paper, whether you are in that house or not, tells you that that house belongs to you. Is that not true? Amen? Victory belongs to us. The promises of God belong to us. Well, we want to see them manifested in our life. And so it says, faith is the substance, it's the title deed of things hoped for, the evidence of the things that we do not see. For by it, I love this part, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. You can read I believe the whole chapter, the faith chapter, and it talks about all the elders, and it talks about all the people that walk by faith, but we're not going to do that tonight. But it says the elders obtained a good testimony by faith. It was faith that was operating in their life that caused them to obtain a good testimony. How many of you want to have a good testimony? Especially when you go to heaven. Amen? And you talk about our testimonies. This, oh God, remember you did this. Oh, you showed up. I was believing and you showed up. I couldn't believe when I saw that chocolate brown carpet that I was believing God for. I can't wait to talk to God about some of the things, you know? Especially when you have childlike faith. People say, well, you know what? Faith is for big things. No, you start little. Start believing God for little things. Amen? Because by it, the elders obtained a good testimony. Sometimes God tells you to do something, like come back to New England. You got to do that by faith. Amen? Hallelujah. The Bible says that faith gives substance to the things you hope for. In other words, faith brings those things into your life, the things that you are hoping for, the things that you want. You know, some of you need to dream again. Some people just get satisfied. Oh, all right, you know, I got a house, I got a car, I got a job, that's all I need. But you know what? God wants us to be rich with blessing. He wants us to walk in the blessing of Abraham. He wants us to touch the world. If the church has the finances and the blessing is on us, couldn't we go down and take care of those things in Florida? Those people wouldn't have to rely on the government. And thank God a lot of organizations that we support, CBN and Samaritan's Purse and a lot of Rodney Howe Brown's down there, they're going in and they're taking care of things. We want to have money in our hands so that we can do things. But not only that, but to also fulfill our dreams, the things that we desired. Amen? Never stop dreaming. Pastor said this morning, never quit, but never stop dreaming. Never start thinking about your future. Amen? So go on to verse 3. It says, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. I'm going to just read that again. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. And I'm not going to get too detailed to that this week. We are going to be getting into that in a couple of weeks. But by the word of God, the worlds were framed. God spoke. The world was dark and without void. And God framed the ocean. God framed the firmament. God framed the world with his words. And the same words, the same word of God we have. Our Bibles are called the word of God. Amen? So it says, we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God so that things which are seen are not made of things which are visible. So just like the worlds were framed with the word of God, you and I, we can design our future with the word of God. We don't have to sit around and think, well, you know, whatever will be, you know. Remember that song? Que sera, sera, whatever will be. No, we can design our future with the word of God. We can design our future when we get the word of God on the inside of it. What is it? What do you want to do for the kingdom of God? What do you want to do for your children? We can change those things. You know, I was thinking about this, and Ty, come running down here for a minute. And I was typing this out, and I started thinking about Ty. And it's amazing, you know, you start doing things and jump up here. So Ty, I don't know if you've seen some of his Instagrams or some of his music, right? So he's in his back room with some equipment. I don't know what kind of equipment. And I'm going to just kind of guess that it's maybe not the equipment that he dreams about having, right? Mm-hmm. So you're basically producing your own music, mm-hmm. and you're working on it, right? And how hard are you working on that?
Pretty hard. I could be working harder, but, yeah, I do work on it a lot.
So how could that become easier to you if you had...
better equipment? Oh, it'd be a whole lot easier. Yeah.
And what else? Maybe somebody to coach you or help you?
Yeah, exactly. Someone who's like been in the game long enough to like mentor.
So tell me your dream. Is your dream to produce music?
Yeah, to make my own music, to be an artist, to produce, write, record, all of it, yeah.
So see, you can design your own future with the Word of God. Now, let me tell you what happens. Here he is. He's working back. He didn't know I was calling him up here tonight, by the way. Right? I'm telling the truth. But I was thinking about him. You know, so we have dreams. We have desires. And we're working, okay, how can I get that name an equipment that you're using? How can I get that microphone?
Microphone, piano, MacBook, yes.
What are you, all the mix things in it?
Mixers, compressors.
So he's probably working on just what he can afford at the time and so forth. But Ty, what if you take the Word of God and you start writing down your desires and you start speaking, God's leading you to do this music. Young people listening to this music, he's creating godly music, good music, rap music. It's, you know, so anyhow, you can go. But what I'm saying is you can get there quicker if you put the Word of God in design. Okay, sit down, think about it, write it down. Amen? And so that's what I'm trying to get to you. Whatever it is that you want in life, whatever it is, you can design it. You can frame it by the Word of God, just like God framed the worlds. And you're going to see that in the Scripture. God wants to give you the desires of your heart. And once you grasp that, this is a lot of people. Now listen, a lot of people will say, well, how do I know if that's what God wants me to do? What if I'm doing the wrong thing? Well, if you're praying and you're speaking the word, the Holy Ghost is going to lead you. He's going to guide you. If you're meditating on the Word of God, you're going to deal wisely. You're going to make wise decisions. You're going to follow after God. Whatever that is, whatever dream that is to do a recording, to write a book, to open up a daycare center, to run for president. I don't know, whatever it is, but you got to start. If you take the Word of God, there's things that you can do in the natural, but if you take the Word of God, then it becomes supernatural. And then you're inviting God in to become a part. You're saying, God, I want you to be, you know, show me. I want you to lead me. When he becomes a partner with you, you're going to be going in the right direction. Amen? Hallelujah. So just like the worlds were framed with the Word of God, you can design your future. That's how powerful the Word of God is. That's how powerful. Speak good things over your future. Speak good things over your children. So many times, there's not a discipline over our mouth, and we're saying the wrong things. But what will stop that is if we feed ourselves with the Word, it'll stop us from speaking the wrong things, and I'll show you that in a second. Hebrews 11, 5 and 6, look at this. Are you getting something so far? By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony, there's that testimony again, that he pleased God. Well, I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before, I was just praying, and I was just kind of saying, Lord, I just want to please you. I just want to please you. My number one goal is to please God in all that I do. And I was just, you know, you think of all the ways that you can please God. And the Holy Spirit just rose up in me again, and he said, faith pleases me. Faith pleases God. It says here that Enoch, it says, by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And then it goes on in the scripture and it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. And so some people think, well, it's just not important to walk by faith. You know, I'm just going to be a good Christian until I die, as long as I get to heaven. But faith pleases God. Faith causes you to do something. Faith causes you to step out on the water. Faith causes you to lay hands on the sick. Faith causes you to go for the dream job that seems impossible. Faith causes you to go for the home or go for the vehicle. Faith causes you to do things. Amen? Faith will move you out. And faith, when you're operating in faith, yes, faith is, it's not the easiest thing to walk in. Not all the time. You know, all of us got saved by faith, right? But it says that Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And I guess I felt like the Holy Spirit was saying, so many people think, you know, faith is just we're a Word of Faith church, or it's just another message, or... But faith is something you walk in and you operate. Enoch pleased God with his faith. All of those men of old, they did something. They stepped out in faith. David went after Goliath in faith. He didn't have, you know, he just had that slingshot, really, in the natural. But he had something more powerful. Amen? Hallelujah. And so Romans 10:17, you know, people say, well, how can I get faith? How can I get to that place where I can believe God, when I can start believing God? And Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We've been talking about meditating on the word of God and the power in it. But I want to talk to you about your thought life for a few minutes, about your thoughts, about what you're thinking about, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, because it changes your thinking. It changes the way you walk. It changes the way you talk. You know, I was typing all this out, and something came up in my spirit, Matthew 18:19. This really wasn't kind of like what this message is, but Matthew 18:19 came up about, you know, if any two of you agree is touching any one thing. And I just felt like the Holy Spirit said, when sickness comes, when disease comes, when fear comes, when things come from the enemy, a lot of times we end up agreeing with the enemy. The Bible says, if two of you shall agree as asking God anything, he will do it for us. But a lot of times we have to break those agreements, because we're believing that, you know, this sickness must be from God. This fear is from God. No, God made me afraid so that I wouldn't do this. No, fear is a spirit. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And we got to break agreements. And the only way we can break agreements with the enemy is by the word of God. Instead of saying that, instead of agreeing with the word of God about that sickness unto death or that fear, agreeing with the devil, we need to agree with the word that says, no, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. God has healed me. God, Jesus bore my sickness and carried. I'm going to agree with God. I'm going to agree with the word of God. And that changes situation. Even with our children, no, me and my household will serve the Lord. Amen? Praying over kids. You know, we've had times with our son. I remember he was about 17 or 18, and we were concerned about some things he was getting involved in, and we went down to the Cape, and we went down there, just my husband and I, just to pray. And as we begin to pray, the Holy Spirit gave us things to speak over his life, and we still speak those things. He said, call this out, call that out. You know, the Holy Spirit will speak things into, he'll give you the answer for whatever it is that you need, whether it's the job, the career, whether it's for your kids. But then you got to grab a hold of those words and stay with it and stay consistent with it and keep it in your heart and keep speaking it. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I'm kind of all over the place tonight, but that's okay, right? Hallelujah. Let's look at Matthew 6:30. I want to talk about our thoughts, because we're talking about meditating on the Word of God. Well, when we meditate on the Word of God, it transforms our thinking. It renews our mind. And we need to have our mind renewed, because we're going to think like this world. If you just put the news on, if we put the news on just to get an update, I don't even like updates anymore. Because within 30 seconds, you're like, this is so depressing. Like they give you, they paint such a picture that there is no answer. There's no answer. There's no way to heal the land. There's no way to do this. There's no, you know. But God says there is an answer. Amen? Matthew 6:30. So you don't want, whatever you feed yourself, whatever you meditate on, that's what you're going to be thinking. And God wants us to get thinking. He wants us not just to have a few thoughts here and there about his word. He wants us to be consumed with his word. I'll tell you what that means in just a minute. Matthew 6:30-31. Look at this. It says, wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little what? Jesus was always talking about faith. Great faith, little faith. Amen? All kinds of faith. But this is Jesus talking here. He said, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? What do you feel like you have little faith in? Is it concerning your family? Is it concerning your finances? And you know, I don't know about you, but a lot of times I try to fix everything with my hands. You know, I want to, with my thinking. Or with Google's thinking. But you know what? God wants us to hear from heaven. And if we don't put demand on the power of God, we're not going to hear from him. Because he's got better answers than Google. Hallelujah. Just do a heaven Google. Glory to God. You're quiet tonight. So, but he goes on to say, it says, oh, you have little faith. He goes on in verse 31, and he says, therefore, take no thought saying. And I was looking at this. Jesus makes a very powerful statement here. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow's cast in, you know, it's cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? But then he goes on, he says, therefore, take no thought saying. And so I was reading that, and I thought, do we take the thoughts by saying? Like, we're constantly being bombarded with the enemy. You know, the enemy will bring fear. Maybe we got a headache. Oh, no, I wonder what's wrong. I got to go to the hospital. I got a headache 3 days in a row, and it's right here, and it's like right there, and it's like not in one spot. And you know what I'm talking about, right? You know? And he'll just put thoughts in there. But he says, take no thought. He's talking about not worrying here. And he said, take no thought saying. And I wonder if what Jesus is saying there is, when you say it, are you taking the thought? See, as long as you keep it out of your mouth, See, when the enemy brings a thought, we have to have this word in us, which only comes by meditating and studying on the word, so that we can answer those thoughts. We don't want to take the thought of worry and say that. We want to answer it, that no weapon formed against me shall prosper, no plague shall come nigh my dwelling, no accident shall befall me. I thank you that the angels of God are camped about me. I mean, and even our children or whatever situation that we're in. It's important that we get this word in us so that we have answers when the thought comes. Thoughts will come, but don't take the thought saying. Take no thought saying. The devil, we are constantly in a spiritual battle. The devil shoots all kinds of thoughts. The Bible talks in Corinthians about pulling down the strongholds, those strongholds that come in our mind. We pull them down with the word of God. But if we don't feed on the word of God, if we're not meditating, if we're not thinking about it, you say, how do I meditate? Pastor Judy, do I go, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. No. Meditating means to think and to mutter. And it's like when you're driving along in your car and the devil brings a thought. Maybe he says, oh, you know, you're going to get cancer like your mother or your father or your, you know, and those thoughts come into your mind. You just don't think on that. You just have enough word in you where what's going to come up is going to be, Father, I just thank you that by the stripes of Jesus I'm healed. I thank you I have a long life and many days on the earth. I thank you for the blood of Jesus. I mean, you have to have the word of God in you. Amen? Or you're going to fail. You're not going to make it through school. The devil will tell you you're a failure. The devil, you'll never succeed. Oh, you can't do that. Why do you even have the thought? If you have a thought to do something, but the devil's telling you you can't do it, you can almost guarantee it's from God. Well, that's too big. That's too big for me. I could never own my own house. I have to be 50 before I buy a house. That's not true. Well, I'd have to get a job. I have to do this. I have to do all that. Just start believing God. Just start, you know, getting the scriptures, putting them in your heart for whatever it is that you desire. Amen. You know, want to hear a funny story? When I first got saved, I went to a singles class, and the pastor's wife was teaching Sunday school. And she was saying her first husband had passed away. And so she was telling the class, she was giving her testimony, and she said, and so I prayed, and I said, God, I have to marry a pastor. I have to be married to a man of God. And so anyhow, she met her husband, and she married him, and she was just sharing the whole testimony. So I went home that day, and I said, I didn't even know what a pastor was. I was so freshly saved. But I said, oh, God, I want to be in church all the time. I want to marry a pastor, too. And 3 months later, I met Pastor Ed, and the pastor's wife, she was just laughing. She said, look, he's just like Pastor Tatham. He doesn't have any hair either. Like, I prayed one for just like Pastor Tatham, you know? And it was just so funny. They were all cracking up because of the way that I prayed the prayer. I wanted to marry somebody just like Grace married. And so, anyhow, I didn't care if he didn't have any hair. He just, I don't even look at it. I don't even see it. But it was just funny how she was cracking up and saying, you just married somebody just like Pastor Tatham. But he's not really like him. But anyhow, but when you pray, you know, you just, you know, believe God for some things. It doesn't matter what it is, but those desires in your heart. Maybe you need to pray some things over your spouse, you know, that I'm not talking about witchcraft and weird stuff, but you'd be surprised at things that God can do. Amen? So anyhow, don't take thought of the worry and the care. Let's look at Philippians 4, 6 through 8. Let me tell you what to take thought of. And when I talk about being consumed with the word, I was thinking about this. I said, God, everybody probably thinks this is impossible. How can I be in the Word all the time and work? And listen, I was working two jobs when I got saved, and I probably worked two jobs for the next 10 years. I was just like that, you know. I worked in real estate in the day. I worked as a waitress at night in a resort city, and I was into making money. And then I got saved, and Pastor Ed came home when we first got married. He said, "They just put me on staff for $100 a week," and I went, "What?" And then they asked me to run the school for $75 a week. Anyhow, but I was thinking about being consumed with the Word of God. Now listen to me. When I first got saved, I was a sports fanatic. I loved sports. Every sports page, whether it was the Boston Globe and the Boston, I had to have every newspaper. I had to know every statistic. I don't know why I was like that. I had an uncle that taught me about sports, and I just loved it. I had everybody's batting average and on-base percentage, and then I got into basketball, and I was at the 75 or 76 World Series, the home games, and I even had one of the players call me, and that's another story for another time. But I was consumed, and the other thing that I was consumed with was music. I was a DJ every Friday and Saturday night. Your pastor was in a bar as a DJ. So and I had all these vinyl records, and I took so much pride in it was an oldies. I was into oldies, and so I was an oldies DJ. And I took so much pride in finding these records that nobody else could find. You know, it was just and I was involved with other DJs. And there was a DJ that was on the radio, and I met him, and we would travel to New York, and we would go behind the stage, and we would be with all of the, you know, the Chanels and the all of them, just all of the old groups, you know, and we would just, it was just awesome. But the guys would siphon gas just so we could get to, you know, wherever we were going to. But they knew these people, they were connected. So everything was about music and sports. I mean, just consumed. When I got saved in Lake Havasu City, Arizona, there was no professional sports team, but I still found a way to, you know, get caught up, and I still listened to my oldies music. But when I got saved, nobody said, throw your music away. Nobody said, don't read those newspapers anymore. I got so hungry that all I wanted was to be with Jesus and to be in the Word. And everything changed. It was like, it was just a supernatural work of God. God's no respecter of persons, but it was like, all of a sudden, who wants to read about that stuff? It means nothing. Everybody's going to die and burn up and go to hell. That was my thing. That was my intent. I threw thousands of dollars worth of records away. I just threw them in the trash. I'm getting rid of all these. I don't want to listen to these records anymore. I don't want to do this. And that is what I call being consumed with the Word of God. Amen? So even though I work two jobs, and I'm not saying that you can't enjoy things. I'm not saying you can't enjoy music. Once in a while, I put the oldies. When we drive and we're driving at night, I have to put the oldies on to keep Pastor awake. And then after about three of them, he goes, that's so like, ugh, can you put something else on? I can't, you know? You're not used to that worldly stuff, you know? But when I brought that out because I was thinking about how do I get people to understand about being consumed with the Word? Basically, people hear this and then they go and then they don't do anything with it. I'm telling you, God's got great things for you if you'll just learn to put the Word of God on the inside of you and begin to talk to Him about your future. Begin to say, you know, believe God that great things can happen. Whatever it is, those desires on the inside of you were put there by God, and you need to get in the Word of God, find the Scriptures, amen, meditate on the promises of God, and start believing God for it. Let's look at Philippians 4:8, 4 verses 6 through 8. I'm going to tell you what to think about, okay? Can we tell you what to think about? And then this is the last scripture. Well, it wasn't, but it maybe two more. It says, in verse 6, it says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Here's your instructions. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Verse 8, and now, dear brothers and sisters, let me say one more thing as I close this letter. Fix your thoughts. Say, fix your thoughts. Fix your thoughts on what is true. What is true? You know what is true? The Word of God is true. Fix your thoughts on what is true. Fix your thoughts on the Word of God. And honorable and right. Think about things. See, God's talking here. God's telling us what we should we be thinking about. Amen? He wants to see us prosperous and successful in every area. Think about things that are pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Amen? So our thoughts are to be consumed with the truth, to be consumed with the Word of God. See, our broke condition that we came into the kingdom of God, that is not what God wants us to focus on. God doesn't want us to focus on, I can't, but he wants us to focus our thoughts on, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. All the can-do success tapes that you listen to that are not based on the Word of God, they all came out of the Word of God. Amen. Your empty pockets are not the truth. God's prosperity is the truth. Amen. Hallelujah. Truth for me had to become what the Word of God says. And then there has to be a discipline to speak truth. So many times we get under pressure. So, and I know what that feeling's like. Seems like 75% of our life is under pressure. You know, you're always, you know, making decisions and doing things. But you know what? You have to be disciplined to keep your thoughts fixed on the Word of God. Keep your thoughts fixed on what God's will is. And honestly, you don't have to have an answer till God gives you the answer. But he has the answer. He has the answer. We have to ask him for it, and sometimes we don't. Sometimes he's the last person to give us the answer. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's look at Luke 6:45. It says here, a good man out of the good treasure of his what? Of his heart. Basically, his mind. Out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good food, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So you can see why he says, take no thought saying. Take no thought about that worry. Here he's saying, out of the abundance of the heart, what is in your heart? Because whatever's in your heart, that's what's real to you. And you're speaking those things. You've got to watch what you put in your heart. For out of the abundance of his heart, the mouth speaks. And then the reason why you have to watch that is in Proverbs 18:21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. You have to be careful what you put in, because it's ultimately going to come out. And the Bible says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. James talks about the tongue, the unruly. You have to discipline yourself to say the Word of God. But you won't know to do that if you don't know the Word of God. You're quiet. I must be getting, either I'm getting on you or you're not catching this. I'm believing you're catching it in Jesus' name. Amen? Hallelujah. So you have to be careful. I want to read something here as we close. And how many of you know who Charles Capps is? And I just read this tonight because I had remembered reading it when I read the book. He's a man of God that knew nothing about confession or faith or anything. And he started learning the Word of God, started hearing the message of faith. And one day, his daughter tells this story. His daughter, Annette Capps, tells this story. She said, one summer day, I was summoned to the kitchen where the table was piled with notes and mortgages, debts owed to the bank. Dad said, I want you to be a witness that I'm going to do what Jesus said to do. And he pointed his finger at the papers and said, notes, listen to me. I'm talking to you. Jesus said you would obey me. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command you. I say to you, be paid in full, dematerialized, depart, be gone. In Jesus' name, you will obey me. Then he just walked off. I stood there thinking, I guess he just left to let those notes absorb his words. Those papers certainly looked like a mountain of debt to me, but I really didn't doubt because I didn't expect that they had any choice but to obey the name of Jesus. Next, we drove to the property that was security for the debt. Dad rolled down the window and shouted, listen to me, I'm talking to you, property. Someone is impressed with you, and you will be a blessing to someone. I call you sold in Jesus' name. And then we drove off. I later learned from him that when the property didn't sell right away and doubt began to enter his mind, he drove by the property again. He rolled down the window and said, ha, ha, ha. And he started laughing at them and releasing faith that no matter what it looked like, that property was sold. And it wasn't just a few months that the property was sold. But he put it to work, and if you read any of Charles Capps' books, he talks about getting the word on the inside of your heart. Because you cannot boldly say things unless they're inside of your heart. The word of God works. Faith works. And when the Bible talks about calling those things that are not as though they are. What does that mean? We'll be talking about that because, you know, either you're operating in faith or you're not. And listen, some of us, you know, sometimes, you know, we lived under lack and pressure. Worship team, you can come if you're not here already. And pressure for so long, you know, that we finally got, just to get our bills paid was like just to make sure that the church rent was paid on time, things like that. And then I just, you know, like, oh, this is good. And I felt like the Holy Spirit said to me, that's okay, but why not believe to get totally debt-free? Get that house paid off by faith. Ask me. I'll give you the world. Just step into some things. Believe, you know, we're believing God for land, and, you know, and our faith has been on a down payment. But, hey, why not believe for the whole thing to be paid off, right? Why not to have, why not believe God to just, you know, somebody give it to us or we'll have the money to just pay it off, you know, we'll just offer them. Listen, when we came back here, when we went to Brockton and rented a building, I remember going in there and I knew that was our building for whatever reason, it was the Holy Spirit, and I said, the guy said, well, a restaurant's moving in here, and my dad's gonna, they're gonna pay $2,500 a month. This was probably 35 years ago, whatever. And I said, well, listen, we want to move in here. We'll pay you $600 a month, and you can raise it at the end of the year, a couple of hundred here and a couple of hundred there. Well, you know what? We didn't hear from them for the longest time. We would drive by. We would speak to that building. We would thank God for it. And you know what? He called us. And it was in December, Christmas time of all times. And he said, can you get here by such and such a date? He said, and you can have it. And we must have paid $600 a month for years and years and years before they finally raised it up into the thousands. You know, that's when we started getting eviction notices all the time because we were like, where are we going to get these thousands of money? But God wants you to believe, take whatever it is that you're dreaming for, amen? He doesn't want you to be in debt. Maybe you're not sick in any way, but you should be speaking the word over your body. You should be praying protection. Speak over your mind. Don't say, oh, my memory is, oh, this or that. Don't even give the devil just an inch in saying things over you, you know? Oh, my eyes or my whatever, my back, my butt, whatever, you know? Just... Don't even Honestly, I don't know. I mean, I could probably find a pain every day, you know? But I'm not going to do that. I'm finding a healing every day. I'm saying I'm healed and I'm whole. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, I hope you get something out of